and naval forces of the United States
Homeland.
A series of strikes against terrorist facilities.
Ryanair Flight 103 crashed into the town of
Claire Danes, Damian Lewis, Morena Baccarin,
stand this aggression against Kuwait.
His relentless pursuit.
David Harewood, Diego Klattenhoff, Jamie Sheridan, David Marciano, Navid Nikahman, Jackson Pace, Morgan Saylor, and Mandy Patinkin. Grainy black and white images of the World Trade Center burning.
We must and we will remain vigilant at home and abroad.
A sign for the George Bush Center for Intelligence.
What the fuck are you doing?
I missed something once before. I won't. I can't.
It was 10 years ago. Everyone missed something that day.
Everyone's not me.
Carrie listens on her headphones. Brody looks out at Capitol Hill. A helicopter flies overhead.
Previously on Homeland.
I think her lithium levels are too high.
That is for her and Dr. Rosenberg to decide.
What's going on?
We need your help.
Do you recognize her?
Fatima Ali, first wife of Abbas Ali.
She's refusing to speak to anybody but you.
If you're going to ask me to go to Beirut, just ask me already.
David Estes is briefing you tomorrow morning on Homeland Security. There's a safe in his office containing the encryption key to a database of potential targets.
If you need these, you must be planning to hit one of these targets. I am not a terrorist.
There's a difference between terrorism and a justifiable act of retaliation.
He's talking about turning Tehran into a parking lot.
Well, what if I tell you my dad's Undersecretary of State?
Yeah, well, what if I told you my dad's a Muslim?
No, seriously, I want to know why she would say such an insane thing.
Because it's true. That's not supposed to touch the floor.
This can't happen. You have a wife, two kids. You're a congressman in the running to be vice president. It cannot happen. You get that, right?
Yeah, Jess, I do. Your mom threw my Quran on the floor. It's desecrated. So I'm bearing it out of respect.
How's the flight?
A little bumpy.
They may have made you carry the gray jacket, yellow stripes, pressing over good.
I can lose him, Saul.
If you run, you'll only make it worse.
If they arrest me, this mission is blown.
Carrie dumps her mobile and ends up in a dead end. Using a mirror from a jewelry stall, she sees the man approach, then knees him in the groin and heads off. Beirut, Lebanon. A golden sun hangs low in the sky, and dogs scamper down a narrow street. Women sit with their hair and shoulders covered as they say their prayers. Fatima is one of them. She holds her hands in front of her face as she prays. Later, the women emerge from the building and begin putting on their shoes. Wearing a pale headscarf with green flowers, Fatima slips her feet into her shoes.
Salaam alaikum.
She stares at Carrie for a moment, who smiles back at her. Fatima casts a quick glance around before beckoning with her head. She leads Carrie out onto a balcony, then peers around a corner and down below to check the coast is clear.
What are you doing here? I was supposed to come to you.
There was a change of plans.
No one told me.
The man you talked to, Saul, he was followed yesterday. I remember you always come to Friday prayers. It seemed safer to meet you here.
You dyed your hair? And your eyes?
And contacts, which are killing me right now.
Frowning, Fatima glances about again.
He said you're not in the CIA anymore.
That's right.
So you can't speak for them?
Fatima, they just flew me 6,000 miles to talk to you. What do you have?
8 years ago, you told me there's a reward for Abu Nazir.
Abu Nazir? Yes.
$5 million.
That's right.
And you'll fly me out of here to the United States. I have a cousin in Detroit.
I'll get you there.
I need you to promise me.
I promise, absolutely. Fatima, tell me what you know about Abu Nazir.
He's meeting my husband tomorrow, here in Beirut. You can kill them both.
a social event in a large modern building. Wearing a smart suit, Brody strides past waiters and other guests. He walks out into a quiet area where Vice President Walden is waiting.
I just had some distressing news. Israel's airstrikes against Iran's nuclear facilities, only partially successful.
Yeah, I heard there were rumors.
Rumors are true. One of the sites is too deeply buried for Israeli ordnance. They need a bigger bomb. Our hosts here have a penetrating bunker buster that will get the job done. But they just told me the president's blocking the export license.
The president himself?
Our commander-in-chief, so-called.
Well, it's not exactly a secret that Israel's been trying to get our bunker busters. You know, the cry on the Arab street would be U.S. bombs Iran.
You really give a shit about the Arab street? They yell death to America whenever we did it. The president is not protecting this country. He's just riding out his term. And if that means leaving a nuclear Iran for the next administration to deal with, what's he care? Falls on me. I was thinking you could help me with this.
How do you mean?
I'm going to see the Secretary of Defense tomorrow. I'll find a discreet way to get this done. Secretary's a Marine. You could help convince him of the urgency.
Brody looks unsure.
Brody, you with me? Of course, yes.
This meeting's strictly off book. No one can know.
With that, he turns away, leaving Brody to return to the rest of the guests. Jessica's also there. A woman in a black dress approaches her.
I may have something for you.
What do you mean?
Remember you were asking how you can help Brody raise his profile? I met a young man yesterday, 23 years old, lost both his arms in Iraq.
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. He's part of a group of wounded veterans. No one wants to see this stuff. They have trouble getting press. You, on the other hand, everyone wants to see. Anyway, they have a fundraiser coming up, and I thought that we could host it together. Are you taking this on? This would be good for the vets and for Brody.
I've never had to do any real fundraising before. Only bake sales.
Don't worry, I'll show you how it's done. There he is. Is my husband still off working the room?
Yeah, I think it'll be a while. We should go.
So will you think about it?
I'll do it.
Good. Come by the house tomorrow after you pick up Dana from school.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Cynthia wants me to work with this group that helps veterans.
She does?
Yeah, she wants me to work on a fundraiser. Is that okay?
You know who's hosting this party, Jess? They make bombs. You really want to help veterans? You take out everybody in this room here.
Saul looks at his CCTV.
I think she's here.
Thank God, buzz her in. Call Estes, tell them she's here. In the embassy, tell them they can call off their search.
He runs to open his front door as Carrie climbs the internal stairs to his apartment.
Where the hell have you been? Oh. We've been busting our asses trying to find you.
I got clear of that guy who was following you, but there were militia everywhere. I had to lay low until daybreak.
Well, we'll talk about it later. Fatima's scheduled to arrive within an hour. I need to get you briefed.
Not necessary. I already met her at her mosque. I remembered she's a regular for Friday prayers, and after you signaled you'd been made, it seemed safer to meet her there.
Carrie, our backup plan was to regroup here.
I'm here now.
You're missing the point.
Which is what? I was told this is about an attack on America. Forgive me, I thought it would be better to meet her sooner rather than later.
Well, we were supposed to meet her together, so you could talk to her and I could assess her reliability.
Meaning you don't trust my judgment?
Meaning the entire point of the protocol was to keep your judgment out of it. We need to arrange another meet. Here. Maybe by tomorrow?
Well, that'll be too late.
Why?
Her husband, Abbas, he's got a meeting tomorrow morning on Hamra Street with Abu Nazir. That's what she told me.
He stares at her, speechless.
I gotta get these things out of my eyes. They're killing me.
At Langley.
When did she check in?
Less than an hour ago. We have a Skype connection ready for you. Saul asked for special ops to be in on the call.
He say what?
No. But Ryan is waiting in your office.
Sir?
Scott? What have we got?
Just us two on this side. Saul asked to keep the circle small.
Okay, you're there. Carrie, very good to see you. You had us all worried.
I heard.
Go ahead, we're listening.
I talked to Fatima a couple of hours ago. It was highly interesting. Her husband, Abbas, the Hezbollah commander, she says he'll be meeting in person with Abu Nazir.
Abu Nazir?
Yes, tomorrow, right here in Beirut. The meet will be on Hamra Street.
I asked operations to queue up the architectural folders for you. Scott, you might want to take a look. It's a dense residential area.
So a drone strike's out of the question.
Right. Which means we'd need our people on the ground.
Well, hold on a second. These drawings you're showing us, they're full of holes.
That's what I wanted you to see.
Area's been controlled by Hezbollah pretty much continuously since the Civil War.
A lot of it was destroyed then and has been rebuilt, but
what it looks like now, except for what we can see on the satellite overheads, we'll just be guessing.
So my guys could be walking into anything.
Just to be clear, are you suggesting that the meat is a sham designed to lure us in?
If it were, you couldn't find a better place.
No, that's not what's going on. Iran has been threatening blowback against the United States if anyone attacked its nuclear sites. Well, four have been reduced to dust. So they're getting ready to do just what they said they would through Abu Nazir.
Let me ask, how does she know? Your asset, Carrie, how does she get onto this?
She overheard her husband talking on a satellite phone.
Discussing a plot against America.
Arranging to meet Nazir.
While what, wandering through his living room?
She overheard it. He was speaking with Abu Nazir.
Whose voice you verified, how? Anyone? Saul, she seemed credible to you?
I'm not really in a position to say.
I met with her on my own. At Juma, morning prayers.
Wait a minute, so Saul, you heard none of this?
No more than you.
Her husband does horrible things to her, David. She wants out. She asked for $5 million and a flight to Detroit. This is not some setup, it's real.
Just so I understand, an informant married for years to a Hezbollah commander turns up out of the blue, promising Abu Nazir to an ex-agent known to be obsessed with the man.
It's not out of the blue.
No, it's in the middle of an international crisis where Iran is looking for a way to discredit the United States.
They'd like nothing better than some kind of Black Hawk Down situation in the city we're not supposed to be in the first place.
Carrie?
We're gonna have to get back to you.
Jessica and Dana drive through automatic gates and up a grand driveway.
Hi.
ID, please. Thank you, ma'am. Here you are.
Thank you.
Well, fuck me.
Please don't talk like that in there.
I mean, what a dump, eh?
Come on. You can do it. All you have to do is behave for 1 hour.
A whole hour? Man, you've got to be kidding.
Jessica glances at Dana.
Hey, Dana, Dad said that, you saw him praying. What was he doing exactly?
Exactly?
Allah.
She holds up both of her hands and closes her eyes, then looks nervous.
It was actually kind of weird.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ma'am?
Jessica! Hi.
Hello.
Cynthia, I'd like you to meet my daughter, Dana.
Oh, Finn's told me all about you. Well, that's disconcerting. Not at all. It's nice to meet one of his friends.
Dana was hoping she could find someplace to do her homework.
Oh, come in. The library is just upstairs on the right, okay?
Thank you.
Make yourself at home. I want you to meet the junta that actually runs DC. We've already decided who the keynote speaker for this fundraiser should be.
Who? Your husband? You think you can get him to do it?
Jessica smiles uneasily. Upstairs in the large mansion house, Dana steps into a room with a long table surrounded by chairs. Looking at the pictures on the wall, she puts her bag onto the table, then turns her attention to a row of cabinets. She slowly walks past them, peering at the items on display behind the glass. She steps towards one and fiddles with the key in the lock.
Hi.
What's your problem?
Nothing.
Well, what are you doing here?
Oh, I live here.
No, I mean singing up behind me like The Walking Dead.
I just said hi. It's a standard greeting.
You can be a real asshole, you know?
I can.
He raises his eyebrows.
You're like, famous at school now, you know?
For calling Tad a douche?
I mean, everyone does that. I mean, the whole my dad's a Muslim thing. It's a brand new kind of crazy.
Yeah. The dean called my mom.
She must have thought it was pretty funny.
Actually, she thought it was pretty unfunny.
Yeah, I can see that too.
He holds his hands in front of his face and squints through the gap.
What the hell are you doing?
Just trying to picture you in a burqa.
She flicks him the finger. In Beirut, Carrie's lying on her bed as Saul talks to David.
I'm coming up blank. And our best intel puts Nazir in Afghanistan.
Look, Special Ops will do what they're told, but I gotta be honest. Everyone here is worried this will end with ambushed American soldiers being dragged through the streets of Beirut.
Everyone here, too.
Everyone except Carrie, right? She still trusts her source?
I don't know what Carrie's thinking right now. After a conference call, she said she had a rest.
Look, Saul, I'm gonna need you to make a call on this, whether to proceed.
So it's my decision?
Well, yeah, you're on the ground there.
That's an act of fucking courage.
Hey, you were supposed to be with her the whole time. Keep her on a short leash. That was the plan.
Hey, for the record, as long as we're covering our asses, I didn't want her here in the first place.
She's not well. What did you think would happen? I don't know, David. I don't know if this woman's for real or if Carrie wants her to be for real.
Carrie listens to him wide-eyed. She looks up at the ceiling and tries not to cry. Later, Carrie's sitting up in the bed, still struggling to compose herself. She gets up and tries to open the shuttered windows. They're locked. She crouches down on the brightly tiled floor. Standing, she clings to the end of the bed, then eases herself towards her shoes. Scowling, she puts them on and heads for the door. Opening the doors to her room, she holds onto the frame, taking deep breaths before walking into the bright corridor. She climbs out onto a roof space, gasping for air. Striding across the sun-drenched roof, she comes to lean on the low surrounding wall.
Carrie! Couldn't find you. Come on in. I don't know who's watching.
It's not lost on me why people don't trust my judgment. Why you didn't even want me here.
Carrie.
It's not fair, I know. For you to have to be the one to decide.
He watches with concern.
It fucked me up, Saul. Being wrong about Brody, it fucked me up. Because I have never been so sure and so wrong. And it's that fact that I still can't get my head around. It makes me unable to trust my own thoughts every time I think I see something clearly now. It just disappears.
She turns away from him and rubs her tear-streaked face. Then she turns back to face him again.
We have a chance to get Abu Nazir.
I know you want to think that. I won't risk American lives on a hunch.
And I would not ask you to. I recruited her, Saul, right here in this city. And it's been 8 years. I know a lot of things can change. But I helped her through an abusive domestic situation. I practically saved her life. And I remember knowing at the time that one day she would be ready to leave here. And when that time came, she would be on my side.
He watches her.
The way I am now, I wouldn't trust me either. But the Carrie who recruited her...
She shrugs.
That one I believe.
Saul stares at Carrie thoughtfully for a moment, before stepping towards her. He puts his arm around her and leads her back inside. David's at a faulty vending machine.
Sir, Saul Berenson just called. We're on. The operation's go.
Brody's in his office, searching through his jacket pockets, and then his briefcase.
Oh, God damn it! Betsy!
Yes, sir? What is it?
I've lost my car keys. I got a meeting off campus.
What meeting? I don't have one on my schedule.
Betsy, could you please just help me here?
She picks up the keys from the desk and rattles them.
So what would you like me to do with your 5 o'clock keys out in the lobby?
Will you just tell them we'll have to reschedule? Thank you.
Yeah, you could tell him that, but then you'd have to take pretty much endless shit about how you're such a big shot now that you don't have time for your old friends. This office.
I'm going to the Pentagon. You want to ride with me?
So, congressman.
Oh, don't even.
Okay, Walton's future running mate.
Possible running mate. Me and 100 other guys. What can I do for you?
It's about Walker.
Oh, God.
Subcommittee report came out a couple weeks ago on his death. Read it?
I avoided reading it.
Well, maybe you should take a look. It says Walker was a lone sniper.
Okay.
No, not okay. It doesn't make sense. Look, Walker was the best shot of any of us, by far. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have missed the vice president.
Except he did?
3 times. Only land a by-the-book kill shot on Elizabeth Gaines, some lady who, as far as I can tell, doesn't even matter. You have to admit, the report doesn't make sense.
So what does make sense?
I don't know, but look, there's something more going on than just Walker and his rifle.
So what are we talking here, a conspiracy? The Freemasons, the Illuminati?
It's not just me, Brody, all the guys in the platoon.
Which guys?
All of them, Lauder, we've been talking.
Lauder, it's the alcohol talking.
He's got a problem, I admit it. Look, forget about whether Walker was in it alone or not. Don't you even want to know who fucking killed him? Because there's no answers in there, and no one seems to give a shit. You've got a clearance now. I'm just asking you to take a look at the classified stuff behind the report.
What if there is no classified stuff behind the report?
Just check into it. Set a mind at ease.
All right. Maybe you're right. I'll make some calls.
Thank you.
The mission against Nazir and the husband is capture or kill, depending on how this goes on the ground.
What about Saul and Carrie?
They'll stay under wraps in the safe house until the action on Hummer Street is underway. At that point, they'll have 15 minutes to pick up this informant, get her to the extraction point.
Beach?
Yeah. Everything goes right, there'll be a helicopter waiting for the three of them.
Everything better go right. That's what I promised the president to get him to greenlight the operation.
They head into a control room.
Satellite support is up on monitor 2.
That's it?
Yes, sir. Hamra Street, where the meeting with Nazir is supposed to take place. That's our forward team position, Red 1. They're on the ground. The mission is capture.
Where are the snipers?
Snipers are Red 2, please. These are the views from their scopes. Range is 400 yards. They'll take out Nazir if the capture team fails.
Snatch team has infiltrated an empty office down the block. If Nazir shows up where he's supposed to, our guys will...
Less than 2 minutes.
Carrie looks up at Saul thoughtfully.
Why'd you stop calling, Saul?
Dr. Rosenberg said I reminded you of work. I was having a deleterious effect on your prognosis.
Yeah, that sounds like him.
You ever think we'd be doing this again?
I hoped.
They smile at each other for a moment.
I know. Don't get used to it.
Okay, we're ready. JSOC and the Pentagon are looped in. Keep traffic to a minimum.
At the Pentagon, Brody's waiting in a corridor.
Sorry for the wait.
No, it's okay. Heard the Secretary of Defense may have left.
No, he's still here. There's something you'll want to see. Special Ops has an operation underway right now in Beirut.
You don't mean on the ground there?
That's exactly what I mean.
What is it?
Either a major clusterfuck or a big honking victory.
They stride past a security guard and into a control room where people are gathered watching the monitors. He points to a seat.
Congressman? There you go.
Brody sits at the table in the darkened room and looks around at all the security personnel. Men and women in military uniform peer at their laptops or at the large screens on the wall.
Okay, there, we got movement.
Right on time.
They watch as a truck rounds a corner in the street with a group of armed men standing in the back. On a nearby roof, a sniper watches through his sights with a man with binoculars next to him. Another agent peers out from a ground floor window as the armed men climb out of the truck.
Why are they stopping there?
We've got 6 tangos west of target area.
Roger. Let me see. Okay, we've got another vehicle.
6 more tangos east this time. They've got us pinned in.
How could they know our guys are there?
Because the informant fucked us.
Saul?
One of the armed men rattles the window bars where the agents are hiding. In the control room...
Red One, stand by. We might be okay. They're just clearing the street.
So they don't know we're there?
No, but we're still way outnumbered. Capture team will never get Nazir out of there alive.
The street is cleared.
Pull it.
Abort capture. Red One, stand down, confirm.
Red One is standing down.
Red Two, stand by.
Red Two, standing by.
Brody looks worried.
What's going on?
There's too many hostiles. They just switched the mission profile from capture to kill.
Kill who? Who are they clearing the street for?
Abu fucking Nazir, God willing.
Yeah, I thought you'd be interested.
Brody stares at the black and white images on the screens. A white car pulls up.
We've got another vehicle.
Red Team, 2 up.
2's up.
In the safe house, Saul and Carrie listen to the events on the phone.
Counting 2 additional targets.
Confirm?
That's Abbas, the informant's husband. Who's that with him?
That's Al-Razi. That's Nazir's lieutenant.
You want to take him out now?
No, they came together. They must be waiting for someone else. They must be.
Sir, do you want to take them out?
Wait. Just
Brody's looking anxious. Trying to keep his cool, he surreptitiously reaches into his pocket for his mobile. Hiding it in his palm, he glances about carefully before turning it on. A dark green 4x4 reverses into the cleared area, and the sniper on the roof follows it.
Okay, heads up. Positions, this will be it. Red Team 2 fire discipline is 2 shots each. Targets are 2 in rows.
Stand by for third.
As the sniper's finger closes in around the trigger, Brody texts May 1 and sends it. He slowly raises his head and watches the images on the screen. Nazir steps out of the 4x4 and looks around. Brody watches intently.
Holy shit, it's him.
Carrie looks at Saul.
Awaiting confirmation.
Primary target is center.
Hide up on Mullet.
Sandman, fire.
Nazir gets a text and leaves safely.
Carrie, Salt, we need to move. Please, we need to move.
What happened?
Please.
Did they get him?
Hurry, Carrie, we gotta move. Let's go.
Just happened. We had him right in our sights.
Brody looks uncomfortable as everyone looks around.
He turned around. Somebody warned him.
Son of a bitch. Get Estes on the phone right now.
Brody's knee shakes.
Yeah. We're almost to the pickup. I'll call when they're in the air. 2 casualties, both on their side. Abbas and Al-Razi gunfire side down on Hammer Street. Looks like our guys made it out.
What about Abu Nazir?
He got away.
They've got to loop back and find him.
It's Hezbollah out there. If we've only got 4 people on the ground, we're lucky they got out when they did. Important thing now is getting you and Fatima out of here. Hey, your source came through. You were right. I won't have you call this anything but a victory.
Carrie looks around anxiously as she travels in the black armored car. It stops outside Fatima's apartment block. Then an agent, Rudy, gets out of the car and goes inside. Saul notices a group of men watching them. Fatima comes out with Rudy.
Is anyone in the apartment? Give me your keys.
Carrie.
We just missed Abu Nazir.
Get in the car.
The man he was going to meet lived in this building. We
back
can't leave here without seeing what's in there.
Back in the car. Carrie
runs inside. Fatima gets into the car, and Rudy goes to the door before coming back to pacify the onlookers. Carrie finds herself in a courtyard. She runs across it and up some stairs until she reaches Fatima's apartment. More men appear around the car in the street as Rudy gets in. One carries a stick. Inside the vehicle, Fatima holds her hand to her face as they wait. Carrie dashes into an office and leafs through some papers. Saul and Fatima look concerned as the men start rocking the car. Inside the apartment, Carrie scans the room, puts a bag on her shoulder, and then rifles through some drawers. The car is now being rocked more violently from side to side.
We should go.
We should go.
Carrie calmly and carefully places files and CDs into the bag, then leaves. Carrie grabs some more papers before running out of the apartment. The group of men enter the main entrance below. She hides behind a pillar as one shoots at her from the courtyard. She runs up some stairs as the group of men give chase from below. Carrie emerges onto a flat roof and looks around. She runs past air conditioning chimneys and vents as the men climb the stairs. Still a fair distance from them, across the other side of the large roof space, she hides behind a wall for a fraction of a second before easing herself around a corner. The men give chase. Carrie heads down a dark stairwell as a man with a gun races after her. She spots another man on his way up, so she stops, grabs a nearby brick and clouts him over the head with it. She steps over him and dashes down the stairs. Out in the courtyard, a man grabs her. With his gun raised, Rudy leads her through the building and out onto the street.
There, now!
They get into the armored vehicle.
Fuck, Harry, what the fuck? Out of here.
You okay?
She's thrown the bag at Saul. Nighttime. A car's headlights pierce the blackness. Brody's leaning on the bonnet of his car, and he looks up as the other vehicle pulls up and stops next to him in the deserted car park. Roya gets out.
Nazir sends his gratitude.
How did they know?
An informant. We think it was Abbas's second wife.
I'm a congressman. You get that, right? A U.S. congressman. I cannot be texting secret messages while I am surrounded by the fucking Joint Chiefs.
I know it's been difficult.
He smiles thinly.
I'm not your guy.
We just took a hit. We lost two in Beirut. Your role is more important than ever now.
I've done my role.
He needs you.
Brody stares at her.
I'll stay in touch.
Stony-faced, he watches Roya get into her car and then drive away, leaving him alone under a single tall street lamp. Shirt and tie, Brody climbs some wooden steps into a darkened club. He stops for a moment just inside and takes a couple of breaths. He steps forward and into the bustling bar, lit with colourful lights.
The Honourable Nicholas Brody.
Just calm down, okay?
Hey, I'm happy to see him. He's my congressman.
You vote for me, Lauder?
Next time. Man, I'm so impressed with your constituent services.
So, what'd you find?
They don't know who killed Walker. And there's nothing in the classified materials that sheds any light on it.
But you look.
I told Mike to make some calls, and I did.
Well, gentlemen, am I fucking clairvoyant or what?
Okay, enough.
I said this guy was gonna come in with jack shit, which is exactly what he's done.
What do you want?
I want to see you flex some goddamn congressional muscle and get to the bottom of this thing.
There's nothing to get to the bottom of, Lauder.
No? What about Walker never missing a shot in his entire life and that day suddenly missing three? What about that whole fucking gavotte on the steps of the State Department being a damn distraction?
For what? Nothing else happened. If that was the distraction, what was the main event?
That's what we were stupid enough to think that
we'd find out from you. Settle down.
Brody looks away.
Walker is dead.
That's right.
A brother Marine. And it is fucking unbecoming. Your lack of interest in the truth of his demise.
You want the truth? Walker broke. He gave up everybody's position, including yours. All of you here. I was there. I heard it. And I know you're all waiting for some other explanation that somehow keeps Walker the guy you knew, but the fact is Walker is not the person you think he is. He stopped being a Marine the day he turned traitor.
Walker may have lost his mind, but he did not lose his aim.
Shut up!
That's slaughter. Shut up.
Brody returns home. He stands by the door in the dark for a moment, before taking a deep, juddering breath. He wipes his face with the back of his hand as he walks through the dimly lit house. He notices Dana's bedroom door is open. She's on her laptop.
Hey, it's getting late. Light's out soon, huh?
Yeah, in a minute. Oh, by the way, Mom is gonna ask you to speak at this fundraiser thing, and she's pretty serious about it, so I'd say yes if I were you.
Thanks for the heads up. Who are you talking to?
She looks at him.
No, you're right, it's none of my business.
No, it's okay. It's just, after everything that happened at school, you're not gonna believe it. But, Finn Molden.
The moron?
No, okay, I guess I was wrong about him. I made a mistake.
It happens.
You okay?
Good night, sweetheart.
She looks concerned as he pulls the door to. Driving through leafy suburbs in the sunshine. Carrie looks round at the trees and houses as they pass. The black 4x4 pulls up outside a house, and the police officer in the front passenger seat turns to her.
Well? It must be a relief to be home.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. I know you must have heard this from everyone and their brother, but thank you.
Carrie nods with a smile, then opens the door. The driver hands her her bag, and she brushes the hair from her face.
A beautiful house, by the way.
Yes. Not mine.
Take care.
With a concerned frown, Carrie walks up to the front of the house. An American flag flutters from a pillar by the door. She lets herself in and drops her bag on the floor. Carrie picks something up from the carpet, drops it onto a chair, then flops down onto a sofa. She glances over at the chiming clock, then down at her wristwatch. Carefully, she adjusts the time, then looks up. She stares about uneasily in the quiet house. In Beirut.
Anything?
Nothing. I have some names and addresses, but nothing seems to be of any importance. I think it's just the wife's junk.
Let's ship it off to Langley. See what they can find. You look exhausted. Get some rest. I'll pack it up.
Rudy gets up and leaves. Saul heaves himself up from the chair and goes over to the desk. He starts picking up documents and slides them into the thin beige satchel. As he holds the flap open, he feels something inside the lining. He tears it apart and discovers a memory card inside a small, clear plastic case. With his hand shaking slightly, Saul puts it into the laptop's card reader. He brings up a black and white video of Brody in his military uniform. He stares, open-mouthed, then hits play.
My name is Nicholas Brody, and I'm a sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. I have a wife and two kids who I love. By the time you've watched this, you'll have read a lot of things about me. About what I've done. That's why I wanted to explain myself. So that you'll know the truth.